Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our code modification chat this afternoon. Today is 11/15/2018. We'd like to ask you to please be mindful of any background noise and do not put your phones on hold so it will not interrupt the meeting and our conversation today. When we take questions, we will take names so that we don't miss anyone and give everybody opportunity to ask any concerns that they have. Mo?
Yes. Good afternoon, Mo Medani. And first of all, I would like to thank you for taking the time to join us this afternoon. And we welcome your participation in the FPC code development process for the 2020 update to the Florida Building Code. The purpose of this chat is mainly to go over the code change process for submitting code amendments to the 7th edition 2020 update to the Florida Building Code, go over available support documentation resources that's available for you as you submit a code change proposal, and also to go over the code modification online submittal. Finally, also we want to give you the opportunity to ask questions about the process or about the submittal of a code change. As you know, the cycle for submitting the code change was started November 2nd and will close by midnight December 15, 2018. Very important to know that the foundation code for this process have changed. It is not the 2018 International Building Code. It is the 6th edition 2017 Florida Building Code. And in addition to that, is that those changes to the 2018 I-Code as approved by the Commission during the October meetings. I just want to make sure you understand that, because some people have submitted code changes to the International Building Code 2018, and we did send need more information on that to them. So please make sure you use the 2017 Florida Building Code as the foundation. In addition to that, those 2018 I-Code changes that's approved by the Commission at the October meeting, and we can appoint those out to you. I think they all summarize in chart one, which is also available on our code mod page from the link provided in the chat email. In order to submit a code change, it's very important that you take your text from the foundation code, meaning that you take it from the 2017 Florida Building Code. At the same time, you need to really review those I-Code changes as approved by the Commission to make sure that there is no additional provisions that you need to consider a new code change from the 2018 I-Code changes. So it's really very important that you try to harmonize the two before you move forward with your proposal. Staff will watch for that, by the way. As you submit your code changes, we make sure that if there is a problem, we will let you know through the need more information. Another important subject is submitting the proposals which mainly reference the standards. Make sure that you provide copy of the standards to staff and to the committee or the appropriate committee for which would be considering the code change. The other thing, in terms of submitting a code change and the process and for help information, please consult the user guide that's available under the resource documents and also the question and answer. Let's see. The other thing, in order to allow for time for feedback from staff on your code proposals, you please submit it as soon as possible. Don't wait till the deadline. Our preference is that you submitted almost 2 weeks before the deadline. However, anything submitted within those 2 weeks will be reviewed, and we'll do our best to to provide you our comments and get the process completed. The other thing is that it's very important that your email address that you have in your registration is the latest and the correct one, because as you submit the code change, the system will provide you with an email confirming that your proposal has been submitted, and also any change to the status of your proposal, it would also be communicated to you via email. Again, if all fails and you still need help, you're welcome to call us. We are a call away at 850-487-1824. One thing I'll let you know, the system or the process is working. We have so far received up to 100 code changes that has been verified and accessible from the system. And Joe would go over those that has been submitted, how to search for them and to find them. You can search our system by code, code sections, and so on. Joe, if you would take us to the mainly the CodeMod page,
did you want to search?
No, to the resources. Let's go to the resources.
Go to Code Development and Hot Topics, 7th edition Code Development.
Yeah, this is really, when it says Chart 1, this is the chart which has all the code changes that's approved by the Commission. These are mainly changed from the 2018 I-Codes. So those ones that approved, they are you will find the tracking chart for them in this chart, Chart 1. And then if you wanted to really find the manograph for them, then there is a manograph or a chart that says tracking chart with ICC manograph editable format. You should be able to find the manograph for those in here. The other thing we have also, if you go back, we have in Chart 2 those code changes that the Commission have taken no action on, meaning the 2018 I-Code changes that the Commission has taken no action on. Those are also, as you see, there's a tracking charts under each link here. And also, if you wanted to know the exact manographs and the language for these code changes, they're available also from the manograph which is, it says, tracking chart with ICC manograph editable. The other thing that's really, let's go down some more. Here's the resources that really would be of help to you. One is the access to the 2018 I-Codes. So you should be able, through the website, to access the international codes, that shows you the 2018 I-Code, and if you want to cut and paste copy and paste it from them, you can. You can do that. The other thing is that from this code resources, there is the 2018 resource handbook. This resource handbook has all the 2018 I-Code changes as approved at the ICC level. And also, as you see, there is a link to the NFPA website where you can access the 2017 NEC. In addition to the changes, the 2017 NEC changes. The work plan, click on the work plan. This is really tells you where we are in the process. As you see through this, now we are mainly under the accepting proposed code changes under the code change cycle November 12 to December 15. So this is where we are, and then after that, February 18, we close the first 45 comment period. Use this chart for you to really know where we are in the process and so on. Go next, Joe. Go back. The next thing, there's a PowerPoint presentation. This is just tell you about the two-step process that we have really been using. The first step is the review of the 2018 ICO changes, and the second step now is mainly to propose code changes to through the triannual code change process, which consists of code changes to the foundation code along with those ICO changes approved by the commission. There is also a document called question and answer. This is a good document if you to review it before you submit a code change. It gives you good information about how the system works and so on. The other thing, you have a link also to the sixth edition for the building code and also the Code Development Chat webinar October 31. I think that's the recording. Now I want to, first of all, do you have any question to what I've presented so far?
Anyone have questions?
This is Tom Allen. I have one question, kind of a clarification. Mo, the standards that were brought in phase one under AMD 94, they're now considered part of the base code were modified, correct?
That's true, with exceptions to those that noted as overlapping. So I would say 99%, yes.
Okay, so those that were carried forward, the updated revision from standards, additions of standards, and standards in that listing are considered the base code, so you don't have to turn in copies of those unless you propose a new standard or a further updated edition of a standard that wasn't listed.
You're correct.
Okay, thank you, Mo.
You're welcome.
Are there any other questions?
This is Hilton Meadows in Jacksonville. What drives the necessity for these changes?
What necessitates these changes?
Correct.
Well, it's a process. We are required by law to mainly review and update the code every 3 years. It's required by law for the statute 553.
Yes, of course. The process for amendment is required, but it does not necessitate that an amendment be changed. It does not necessitate amendments. It just necessitates the consideration every 3 years.
Thank you. But we are here to talk about the process and not the merits of the amendment.
I think my question has to do with whether or not these changes, in fact, that we're talking about now, are they going to negate the validity of changes that occurred in the building of houses under the immediate previous code? For example, you're talking in one case about changes that have to do with vinyl siding, and houses all over the state have been vinyl sided under the previous code provision, but now we have a new provision that amends that. So what happens? Does that invalidate the vinyl siding that has already been used?
Actually, the code is not retroactive. Any update to the code doesn't apply to existing building until that element of existing building has been altered or modified. So any improvement or new standards for vinyl siding, it will not apply to existing siding.
Mr. Meadows, if you have any issues with any particular code modifications, these will all be discussed at future TAC meetings and commission meetings, and that would be the place to discuss individual modifications that are being proposed.
Yeah, who was I just speaking with?
This is Justin Vogel, the commission's attorney.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Are there any other questions? Hearing none, Joe, would you like to go ahead?
Okay. Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Joe Bigelow, and I'm going to do a quick run-through of submitting a mod. Let's see. First, I'd like to do the registration. We touched on this last time, but we had a little bit of lag and technical issues with our internet. So let's try this again. Starting from the homepage at floridabuilding.org, what you can do is go to where it says BCIS Home, log in and register. You can register, and what you can do is do a login. You can make up one. But when you do your first and last name, you can do an interest group. If you're doing, like, say, if you're submitting a mod for two different organizations, you can separate mods by your last name and first name. So you can do Smith, but do FRSA or something like that. And when you fill out, all the blue fields are required, but I do recommend, there's a black text area here. I would recommend clicking on building code information changes, and that will ensure that you at least get code change updates emails from us. But this is how you can do registration if you're doing two different mods for two different organizations. You can kind of keep them separate, but and then do different logins too for each organization. So, but yeah, definitely get registered. That's the first step. You just go from the homepage, go to register, then that'll get you in. I'm going to go ahead and log in. Once you get your registration done, you'll get a login and you'll become a petitioner. And when you're a petitioner, when you go to propose code modifications, it'll allow you to submit a proposed code modification. So that's the key. So once you get logged in, submit a mod. This is the first page of submitting a mod, subcode where we'll do building, of course, in Chapter 1, Section 101. And this is for tests. So. And I'm on the live site right now. You can always save in progress. If you want to just kind of get in there and test it out, you can go in and start a mod, and I'll show you how to do that. Like, this is a test mod. And the neat thing, we've updated this text editor light years ahead of what it was before. Now you can actually use Chrome, which is... You weren't able to use Chrome or Safari or Firefox. You were only allowed Internet Explorer last time, and that caused a lot of problems. But as you can see, I'm in Chrome right now, and it works great. So that was a big plus. Plus, it has a lot more features, too. Let's see. This is a test mod. You got your standard legislative format. You can just highlight it. And it's a full editor. You can actually build your mod inside of here. You can cut and paste. I'll show you an example of cutting and pasting. I've got a test mod here that I did in Word. And notice it has strike through, underline, superscript, and subscript. I'm going to take my mod, my wonderful little mod, and paste it in. And it does the formatting. It does everything. So we recommend building it in Word. WordPad works pretty good too. Sometimes it doesn't exactly get clips from the web. If you're going to grab, say, the code from the web, I recommend grabbing it and putting it into Word.
It's WordPad and Mac product?
WordPad, Mac has a similar one. I think it's called Notepad, but you can use a, it's a simple text editor, will work as long as it allows you to do bold, strike through, and underline. But yeah, WordPad's kind of an old Microsoft product, but it's kind of like a baby Microsoft Word. But the neat thing about WordPad is it'll strip out any kind of weird code that Microsoft Word has. So if you have like crazy shapes, like stuff like this in your Word, if you drop it into WordPad, it'll strip all that out and just give you text, strike through, and underline. So that's what's neat about WordPad. We recommend not going too crazy with add-on things like shapes and dialogue boxes and text boxes. Just keep it simple. Here's another example of a mod. I'll slow down because we may have a little bit of lag, but I have another sample mod here. And what we recommend, the only change I have is legislative format for this mod right here. And the rest of the text for this whole chapter is unchanged. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab this highlight, I'm in Word, and highlight this first section, copy it, go back to my test mod, go down and paste it in, and it pastes fine. You may want to double check just to make sure everything's, we've noticed that sometimes it may, in the translation from Word to the web, it may take out spaces and it'll look something like that. So just double check. It's a pretty easy fix. As long as you, I would recommend saving in progress a lot too. If you make a change, go ahead and save in progress. And it'll, you can always come back to where you left off. Because if you go like, go to the kitchen or whatever and get a coffee, come back, it's timed out, all your changes that you just did inside here won't be saved. So that's rough. That's happened to a few people already. So just remember to save in progress. You'll be good to go. And here's my mod. I'm going to complete it on out. Actually, I won't complete it. I'll just save it in progress and say I get timed out. And when you get timed out, you'll end up back at the home page and it'll look something like this. So we'll speed up time. This is 3 hours later. I come back. I want to work on my mod. Just go to login, propose code modifications, and then go to manage propose code modifications down at the bottom. It's the bottom selection. This is going to be for if Mo or staff sends you and needs more information on your mod. You get an email in your inbox. I'll show you an example of an email. You'll get something that looks like this from the system. It says, you have received an original modification needs more information notice for my mod. And then it also tells you what was the needs more information request. And for this, it says I need legislative format for section 206. So this is just an example of an email you'll get. So, and to do a needs more information, you go to you log in and go to manage proposed code modifications. And you'll see these tabs near the top. And this is where all the, you want to kind of monitor, if you have a mod in or if you're starting a mod, it will be, there'll be action on it in one of these little tabs here. So looks like Mo sent me a needs more information. So I go into needs more information, click on my mod that needs more information, and do the request that was in the email for that. And that'll get you out of needs more. You just have to go through the mod, make the changes, and it'll resubmit it. But I saved in progress that one. I left for 3 hours. And I'll go here. And here it is, 7270. To find it, I have like 100 mods, but you can use these little forward and backward buttons if you have a bunch. Some of you are going to be doing around 200 plus mods, so this is your navigation here. You can go all the way to the end, and that'll take you to your most recent mod that you did. And yep, right there, the 15th. So I'll go in. This is my test mod, and then all the information's there where I left it. And right now I need to work on my rationale. So the rationale is a little bit different text file. Did we say, Mo, that they can add? The rationale doesn't need to be in the thing.
Well, the rationale is really, we have seen two type of rationales. One, we have seen where if the rationale consists of a large document, a lot of it seems the proponent would upload an attachment. You can upload a support file or attachments. Okay. If the rationale is really consists of a few sentences, then yeah, we advise that you type them in. So but it'll allow you to do both also. You can summarize your rationale, and at the same time, you can upload a more detailed rationale as an upload. So.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Something like that for rationale. And
Is there a character limit on that box?
I think there is, but we upgraded it from last time, because people were putting a lot. I want to say it's 1,000 characters, but I'm not sure.
I think it's a large enough. I think so far I have seen 3-4 paragraphs within this box. So yeah, it used to be 500 characters. I think we moved it to double or triple last time. So I would say you should not have a problem of, except if you're planning to provide really figures and a more documentation or data, it would be best to just upload the support file for it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Are there any questions so far on registration and starting a mod? Okay. What we can do, there's always the if you forget your login and password, that's always...
Jonathan Roberts asked how well it works with tables.
It works very well with tables. We fixed tables a lot. Let me go back to my mod here. You can actually build a table inside of the editor a lot better than the old one. On the old one, it didn't even really look like a table. But then this one, start a table. Just a screen size. And it's really good. You're really lucky if you have, for your workflow, if you have three monitors, because you can have your text of mod on one monitor, your code on another monitor, and maybe the PDF of the monograph or something like that on the other monitor. But it's a little tricky on one little laptop here, so bear with me. But it does have a table builder over here. You just go over to tables, and if you want a 3x3, it pops it in, and it works pretty good. But the best thing to do is to grab one from a... Let's see if we have a mod with a table.
Well, if you want to show it, there is one, Joe, if you want to go to the real site.
You want to go to the monograph or something?
Yeah, well, no, go to the you know, to the proposed code modification, and go to manage proposed code modification. Go down all the way, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you are in the live site, am I correct? Go to need more, go for...
I need to log in as staff.
Yeah, so. If you want to do... But to answer your question, we have so far processed almost 100 code changes, and a number of these code changes that we processed had tables, figures, and all that. and they look decent. So I can show you if you want to, you know, if go to the live site and then search for certain mods. We can.
Yeah.
If you want to do login and.
You know.
Yeah, I can. If you go log, yeah, if you go into manage. Okay. Yeah. Are you on the live site now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Go to the manage. Go to the manage.
You want me to log in as DBPR?
Yeah.
Okay.
And go to the proposed format, and you go to manage proposed, and go to bending DBPR, and go to the this one. This is a code change that has a very huge table. So whoever did it.
Somebody.
Go all the way down, Joe.
Yeah.
Go all the way
this
down.
This one's actually an image, so this one shows you both.
But yeah, you can add it as an image, but it also has figures.
Yeah.
Also, if you go all the way down.
Let me copy this so I can put it in my mod or a mod. Yep.
Yeah. And it has figures. So it's, you'll be able to, sure, you can incorporate images and all that within the box. So you see that it's very detailed code change with, you know, with text and images and all that. So you should be able to do what you want to do.
Yep. It makes it a lot easier. And we couldn't, you couldn't really do this on the last code cycle because the old editor couldn't really handle pictures, tables, all that. And most people ended up using a PDF as an upload. But now we kind of recommend not using the PDF as an upload.
No, we don't want you to, for the text of mod, you know, we mainly request that you don't make an upload, because if you do that, the problem, as we extract these code changes to put together the supplement for the code, you is very, normally if it's a PDF, will be difficult to extract the text, and a lot of time, you know, it just make our job very difficult. So we discourage you, and I will, if you do that, I will send you, I need more information to make sure you put it in the text of mine. So I, you know, so please do that.
Kevin Hill.
So there's no limit. There's no limit in character or size in that box, right?
No, as you see, it's very. You can do a lot in it.
I'm seeing that. Yeah. Thank you.
It does bog down a little bit. I put a 300-page document in there, and it was starting to chug along. So.
It also will be easier. The smaller your code change, the easier for the staff to review it.
Yeah.
A more detailed with so many. You know, changes in between, it gets very lengthy. You can always break down your code change to more than one and make it more manageable in that point. And you, as Joe said earlier, you don't need to include the whole code section. Just include only those things that you're changing. You can always say, you are really mainly this is the code change and mainly for the remaining text you could say it will remain as is. So you don't need to really put in stuff that you are not changing. We can manage formatting and get it into the supplement to the code if it's a without you giving us everything.
Yeah, you can do something like this.
Remaining text and change or something like that.
Yeah.
Kevin Hill had a question for you.
Okay, Kevin, what's your question? Kevin, did you have a question?
Maybe
typed in. He typed in. He assumes that if we have five sections within a single chapter that we want to propose mods for, that we have to submit a separate mod for each section, even if the edits may be related to more than one section.
No, I'm not saying that. I think all what we need to see is those sections that you're revising. We don't need to see the in between. Now, if you, if you know, So it depends on what you are doing. If you can revise, if it's a huge section and you are revising every section, that's fine. But if you're only revising one or two sections out of 10 sections in that code measure section, there is no need to add those other ones that you're not revising. That's all what we're saying.
Okay. All right, any more questions?
Hey, Mo, this is George Wiggins. I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, George. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you start at the very beginning and go through to pulling up a specific 2018 I-code revision that we can submit and modify?
Okay, yeah, go to the monograph.
Go
to the editable monograph.
Okay.
And go take a code change. Go take to one of these monographs that, okay.
Start at the very beginning and take us through the process.
No problem, we'll do that, George. No problem, good idea.
Okay.
Let's just go to the monograph. And this one here, let's go to general.
Okay.
And open the file.
So we pick general monograph. It lives in.
And go down to, let's say, find, this is the, George, this is really from the monograph. So we have 3111.3.1 all the way. We're going to take that, copy it.
Copy.
And then go ahead and you can speak up while you're doing it.
Yeah, I don't have my super mod. I can do it in this mod. Well, let me start from the beginning on this. So I have my text from the monograph copied.
Are you taking the monograph, the PDF monograph, or the RTF monograph?
Grab the RTF.
Editable. Okay, I saw it. Okay.
Yeah,
Joe, go back to the first page, the very first page of your startbuilding.org.
Am I lagging a little bit? Am I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Start from the home page. Yep.
Yeah, he wants you to start from the login and everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. So I copied
okay.
my text. Right. Oh, you want me to grab it from the monograph again one more time and show you that? Or?
Well, log in and
yep.
take it. I want to pull up a specific number.
That's all right.
Okay.
That I can give you.
Okay.
You have a specific mod you want to take a look at? Or?
Yeah. ADM 13-16.
ADM
13-16.
Okay, that's fine.
In the monograph?
Yeah, let's just go to the ADM, which is really this one. Go to it probably. Yeah, try that one, see if.
30-16?
13.
Yeah.
13-16?
Yeah, ADM 13. You should say ADM 13. You can control F. Do control F. ADM 13. No, not that. 16. You don't need to put the 16, just the ADM.
13-16.
That's all right. Just click on that.
Part one. I don't know if you leave part one out.
Might be in a different section.
There's no space on there.
Let me just do 13-6.
Yeah, ADM 13. That's fine. Yeah. Hey, here it is. Okay, we're there, George. We have ADM 13-16.
Okay. Okay, I see now under navigation, you don't need to put ADM. You just put the number 13-16.
Yes, yes.
Control F and find something that's is going to be it's going to always have a 13-16. So that's what I did. And
okay.
So George, do you want us to take the text now from here?
Yes.
Okay.
Looks like
we have 2000.
It starts right here.
Yeah, all the way down. It's fine.
All the way down to looks like right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So I hit Control C, or you can right click and do copy. You can minimize it, and then go back to Let me do it on test site. Okay. So I'll log in. Assuming I've already registered, I already went over that. But let me log in, and I'm using my login that I got from registration. You may have something like building official, or you may have something like jurisdiction. You may, with your new login, you'll have different petitioner logins, and you can just use your radio button to click on the new login if you're using the same username. It's best to use a different username for that. So, all right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to confuse you on that. Probably already did. So just basically just log in and go to submit a mod. And go to building.
And that's an existing building. So when
let's do it for real.
Existing building.
Existing building, that was three.
Yeah, that's fine. Chapter 3 and section 311 if you want to do that.
311. Don't know if there's any related mods. The blue fields are required. So
related mod, if you are planning to submit more than one mod that for that section, so or it's related to another section somewhere that's in the code that's related. So this, in this case, no need.
Okay. So this is admin change.
Okay.
Yep. Summary is
summary of the modification. You need to give us really a one sentence that summarizes what is really your intention with this code change.
Consistency.
Adding a standard, improving the text, whatever, something that very direct.
Okay. Yeah. What about relating to a Florida specific amendment?
Relating to the Florida, what are you?
For the summary.
Does that come up later?
I think let's just go take it step by step. Now we are only doing the summary of the modification. Yeah.
And
okay.
And don't forget if it's a high velocity or not high velocity.
Yeah, if it's
okay. And assuming I still have my stuff in memory in the clipboard, I just go into the text of mod box and right click with the mouse and then hit paste.
Here's the text, George, from this code.
Okay.
With strike-throughs and underlines.
With strike-throughs and underlines, yeah, which didn't happen last code cycle. So we're looking good. You can always tweak it a little bit, like if it comes in a little
So we can leave all that, like the 2015 international, we can leave all that in there?
No. You want to clean it. What we're looking for, after you do this, you want to really look at two things. One, you want to make sure it's going to go easily into the 2017, meaning there's no further specific change that you need to kind of address. In this case, probably the language will be good, but you don't need the 2015. And all the stuff that doesn't apply, you want to remove.
Okay, you got to clean up the text, the old code number out.
Yeah, you want to make sure that it directly is correlated to the 2017 for the building code.
Mm-hmm. If someone pulls, this mic's over, if someone pulls a modification from the IBC and puts it in for a new modification, will there be some way to track what the number was with the IBC mod, so we don't have to physically compare them to figure out which one it came from?
This is what I have seen so far. As I mentioned, there's a number of people who submitted code changes, probably 50% or more people who's mainly taking text from the 2018 iCode changes and including in the 2017 for the building code. A lot of them have, in the rationale, they would give the number for the code change from the ICC side, and that's really the only way you can find out what is really the if it is a 2018 iCode change or not. A lot of them, they use that as a rationale. So I would say 99% you're going to be able to see that within the code change, which tells you which iCode change that they are using or the text coming from. So yes, that's what I've seen so far. The majority of them, they do use that as a part of the rationale that is really, to be consistent with the 2018 iCode and for the code change, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Just a suggestion for future, possibly. Does it make sense to put it where it says related code change to have a place there where you actually could put that in so you don't have to go searching for it?
That's really something that really, as we go through the process for the future and as you see that how this process will evolve, yeah, I think there is a number of improvements we will be looking at making to make sure that we also be able to generate some statistics from the database. But yeah, it is something that we will be probably looking at that for the future, no doubt.
Yeah, it would be helpful because you view the iCode and decide what our system, if it's the exact same change, it would be nice to be able to easily cross-reference back to what decision was made on at the iCode level. Thank you.
I understand. Thank you.
And I clicked on here the needs help for the text of Modbox. It kind of summarizes what I talked about, where it's an editor and it can do all the functions in here. And what Mo talked about, unchanged or deleted in its entirety, stuff along those lines. So those are under the needs help things. Let me show you an example of, let's see if we have a picture here. What I usually do, if you have a new image or a shingle diagram, take the shingle diagram from your desktop and then drag it into, because it'll say drop image or text right into the text box. Make sure you have your cursor set up where you want it to go. And it'll go right, like if you have words here and words here, but you want the image to go in the middle, you just take it, drag it, and drop it, and it'll drop the image wherever your cursor is. So that's if you have a new image or something like that you want to add. So that's pretty much it for what I have.
The other thing I want to mention, Joe, you okay?
Yeah, I think I've covered all
of the other thing I want to ask is, I think that based on reviewing so far the code changes submitted, staff is charged by law to review the code changes for completeness. The thing we look for in any code change submitted, first is the text of mod. We do look at the text, make sure that the information in there correlate to the foundation code, the 2017 code, or also we look and see if there is a correlation needed or a consideration of an iCode change that approved by the commission that need to be considered. And so we look for that and we make sure that whatever you submit is correct with regard to the text of mod. We don't really review your text of mod for accuracy in terms of the contents, but we do look for the format and make sure whatever you're submitting would fit or correlate with the foundation codes that we addressed earlier. So that's one thing. The rest of it, with regard to the rationale, with regard to the answering the questions, we're not going to flag you on answering the questions because that's something really the committee has to make a call on. With regard to the content of it, if you answer the question not applicable, yes, we will flag you. So you have to answer the questions. And as long as your answer to the questions that's required has been answered with a proper language, meaning that, you know, not obscene language, it will not be, you will not be flagged. So what I'm saying is to you is that I think, although we're saying that, hey, you know, submit your code change 2 weeks before the deadline so that we provide you with comments, at the end of the day, I think if you follow what we were saying, it should not be a problem if you submit your code changes after this December 2nd. I think we were going to do as a staff our best to give you a response in a timely manner. But the earlier you submit your code changes, the best for us and you, so that you will be able to really relax and not wait for the last minute. I know from experience throughout these processes, this is the seventh code we've done. A lot of time, everybody wait for the last 2 weeks, and we get like 200, 300 code changes. So, you know, we're going to do our best to review all of them and give you comments on them. But at the same time, you know, I think the earlier you submit your code changes, the better off for us and you. Anyway, but that's really what we have today. Any other questions?
Yeah, I got a quick question. Is that Dick Wilhelm?
Yes, Dick.
Sure, go ahead, Dick.
Sitting here, listen, if I want to make a change to several of the standards in Chapter 35 on homicide, can I do that separately offline, like create a strike and delete on a Word document?
Dick, your phone is bleeding in now.
Inside your.
I think his answer is yes.
So. Yes, I think you can. If you're just only making changes to the standard editions as it exists in the code, you can take out those standards that you want to change and change them. But make sure, as you do that, make sure to check also the code mod. Which has all the standards from the iCode side that's approved by the commission to make sure that the additions that you are changing correlate to the mod that has all the standards from the iCode side, especially the additions.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yep. Build it in Word and then transfer it to the text of mod. Yep.
Hey, Joe and Mo, this is Scott McAdam.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, I really appreciate this presentation. This is really what we needed a couple weeks ago with that first presentation, so I commend you both. It answered a lot of our questions, and tremendous. Loved it.
Excellent.
You're welcome, Scott, and if you still need help, you know where to find us.
Hey, Mo, it's George Wiggins. I have one last question.
Sure, George. Go ahead.
The... each one of these, you still have to identify what this modification addresses with regard to a Florida-specific need, one of those items, or as it says in the rule, there can be other criteria beyond that.
No, George, with regard to the code mod and the questions that's really listed in the online form, there's all specific questions. There's none of them which says you have to really answer whether this is meet for the specific need or not. So you just really address the questions.
However,
okay.
You do need to explain why this meets Florida specific need that is required in subsection 9. I think that you would probably put that in the rationale box, if I'm not mistaken. I don't recall that there's a specific box that...
No, we don't have any.
So I think that would go in the rationale. You need to explain, you know, why the state needs it, that is a requirement. That's something that the tax and the commission will ultimately consider. And we have the rule that is that lays out certain criteria, but it's not an exhaustive rule, so you're not limited to that list.
I see. Thank you. Help here with a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Does anything address costs?
Yes.
There's some core questions, I believe.
Yeah, there is a questions is related to cost, so far, you know, we do encourage people who submit code change to provide a quantitative, but also we've seen qualitative. That's whether really the quantitative or the qualitative is sufficient. That's something we defer to the committee and the commission. But we encourage that you provide quantitative information. There is a cost for small business. There is a cost for property owners. There is cost of compliance, the local governments. So those, yeah, there's a number of cost information. Yeah.
On page 3.
Are there any other questions?
This is John Roberts with UL. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I just got a question about the standards. I know in the beginning you had said that if there were any standards that we were updating, that you wanted to have a copy of those standards sent to you. When we've done this with the ICC, we have set up an electronic version and put it onto a secured website for the folks that are on the committee to be able to view. Is that something that we could do with you guys, or how would you like the standards submitted to you?
With regard to us here in our office, we need a copy. So by law, we are required to have a copy of the standards. So there you have to provide us a copy, whether it's a PDF, watermarked, if you want to, or hard copy. We need that. With regard to the committee, I'll leave that to the committee. You know, if you want to provide the committee with a link to a standard for them to review, that's really up to you. If you wanted to provide them with a PDF copy, I'll leave that to the committee. Normally, I have seen a number of things. I have seen some people who, from the prior experience, where they mailed a hard copy to the committee members. Some would send a PDF file. Some would give the committee members a link to a site where they can review the standards. So that's something that really, all of what we advise is that you make the standard available to the committee, but you do provide us with a copy of the standard for our office.
So if we provide a copy to your office, does that automatically go to the committee? Because
In terms of providing the information to the committee, that's really, we leave it to you, how you want to do that. And it's your responsibility to make sure that the committee has the information. With us, we only need you to provide us with a copy for our office here.
Okay.
We have firewall issues, so we can't receive it and have someone from the outside access that information.
Right, and we've got issues with just with our standards just being handed out, so we have to be careful.
Brad Schiffer.
So that's why I asked.
Brad.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Roberts. Brad Schiffer. Brad, were you trying to ask a question or taking another call? Anyone else have questions on the line? If that concludes your questions, then we will call the meeting concluded for today. Thank you very much for your participation.
Thank you, everyone.
And have a good afternoon.
Yeah, thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.